Good. I want to share something with you. First of all, now, these guys are going to have to look for these verses, but there's only a couple of them, because God has changed something up, and I'm going to show you. Kelly's talked about this, Pastor Kelly, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. Let's go to Proverbs 28 and 1. And in Proverbs 28 and 1, as it's going up, I'm just going to share it real quick. I'm going to a place with this here. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And that's the thought, my thought tonight. Proverbs 28 and 1. I've had something happen to me. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. It happened tonight. I want to show you. I have a message here. It's called Understanding Yourself or Understanding Your Own Heart. I'm not going to be preaching that message tonight, but I came prepared. But right when I was going out the door at about 5 minutes to 6, I got a phone call that caused me to change my message. And I'll explain that as we go along here. I have a message. I've got the notes that I give to the sound booth every week, but I'm not going to do that message because God changed it up. But why did he change that up? Well, we could also ask this. What I'm concerned about is people that come behind this sacred desk and they're not prepared. They're not ready. I've seen where people didn't have anything. I'm not talking about anybody that comes to this church because we've never allowed that. We've always let people know, you know, we got to be ready. But can God change things? Yes. And what God does, and you know, I'm not the whiz. It's easier for God to just let me go ahead and get my message, get my word. And if something comes up like it did at 5 minutes to 6 tonight when we were heading to church, he can just do it. And so what happened was this. I'm going to ask you to pray with me because I was asked to pray. And one of the things that God has shared with me is that I have been far too willing and anxious to pray for people than I should be. And I should be more discerning. Because not every people say, yeah, well, go ahead and pray, I guess. Well, see, I'm asking for trouble when I act like I'm hard up. Because if I'm acting like I'm hard up, that means that God's hard up. I want you to know something. God is never, never, ever hard up. And Jesus was in a certain place, and it talks about the beginning of his ministry. And he said in that particular place, he could not do any great, great miracles or answers to prayer because of their lack of faith. Okay, but he said, save, he laid hands on a few sick people and a few sick people got well. And I think I've always been overly, and I can't speak for other ministers, I just have to speak for myself. Now, sometimes I'll just ask people and they usually have something. I just recently asked our tax person that helps us before we left, and if we could pray, and she said yes, and she told me what she wanted to pray about. We prayed. She was glad to get the prayer. I pray for people almost every day, and I'm proud to do it. But I think I've prayed for people, and I've had people flat out tell me, "Well, yeah, you pray when you get home, or don't pray." Some of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. There's been some people. You can just get too anxious about it. God's not anxious. God's not hard up. And God has all the answers that this world needs. And the one way you can tell is not very many people in this world are following God, number one. And look at all the trouble that the world is, number two. So I want you to see that. But I want you to know that you have the power. And we're going to talk this evening about, turn to Mark chapter, before we turn there, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. This is the second verse I'm going to use. Then there's one more verse, and then we're going to go into action. The word says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore, in other words, because of what was said right before here. For that reason, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Now, if you know Christ in your life, if you're serving God and you're trying to serve him every day, now, I can't say to you if you don't sin, because I did some of my best sinning after I got saved. I was just getting started at the age of 19. And you know what? When I ruined my life and I began to feel suicidal and I began to hear voices that were demons, God found me. I didn't find God. God's not lost. I was lost, and I found him. Somebody had the words of eternal life, and they came to my house at my mother's kitchen table at 1765 Cathay Drive in the summer of 1971 and explained to me that I needed to be born again. And I said, Uncle, I'm going to pray with you, because if there's a God, and if he can really change my life, I need him. And if there's not, I'm in trouble. I could tell I'd already gone too far in life that I was in trouble. And I prayed. And like I was telling our praise and worship team in our meeting just a few minutes ago, man, I have never just come to church because I had to. I never went to church before I got saved. We went to church every Easter and Christmas, even if we thought we didn't need to go that much. That's how lost I was, okay? But when I got saved, nobody had to tell me to go to church. Something inside of me. Nobody had to tell me even to read my Bible. I just, you know what? A baby wants its food. As the Apostle Peter said, as newborn babies earnestly desire the milk of the word so that you can grow. Something inside of me, I had an experience with God that inside of me, I wanted the word, and I got me a living translation of the Bible. It was called the TLB, the Living Bible. It was red. I had it for many years until I had it strapped on the back of my motorcycle and I lost it. But I got another of that translation. It was something that was good and easy for me to read. And what I would suggest to everybody that's going to be hearing this, and for you to tell everybody, is find a translation of the Bible that you can understand, that you have a joy of reading, that you can get what's being said. And later on, you can figure out all the other stuff. That I don't know how many translations of the Bible I have. I've never counted them, but I've got a lot. And I love every one of them. I usually preach out of the King James or the TLT, the New Living Translation of the Bible, for clarity on things. But having said that, I want to tell you something. Right, I got a call from Larry Baker right before Millie was already out at the car. I said, Brother, what's going on, man? He says, well, I want you to know something. He said, I don't know if Mary's told you. I said, well, I haven't talked to Mary in the last several days. I don't think since Sunday. He said, well, I've got a problem. And I'm bringing you the problem here tonight. Larry said, Larry had a 75% blockage in one artery, a 95% blockage in the other one. Well, they worked on the 95, and the results, he said, they're telling me I need to go back, and they're going to try to do something with the artery that had a 75. Jimmy, his son, was almost back to New Mexico, and Jimmy just turned around and is coming back, so that tomorrow at 1 o'clock, they have to be in Little Rock, and they're going to try to work with that and open up. There needs to be a little bit more. I was asking the Lord, well, how do you feel? He said, well, I feel a little bit better, but it isn't what I thought it would be. Well, now we know why. There's a problem there. And, you know, what happened a few years ago when they could not put stents in, where they could not clean these? Well, people just died. They just died. But the last thing I want is my brother and friend in the Lord to die. I'm glad. And let me tell you this, Aaron. I was saying this before I ever took medicine. I want to tell you that. Before I ever took medicine, there are people in this room, you heard me, for God's sake, don't stop taking your medicine. Because medicine is in the Bible. In fact, medicine is in Genesis. And the one that wrote the book of Acts and the one that wrote the book of Luke was a doctor, and he traveled with the apostle Paul, and he doctored people, and Paul preached to people. And, you know, let's not put, the devil would like to put so many restrictions on us that we can't see. But see, the only thing that works is the truth. And Jesus said, if you stick with me, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I believe that. We're going to one more place this evening. We're going to Mark chapter 11. And the first verse that I read to you said, well, wicked people run away when nobody ain't even chasing them. Okay? But the righteous, and you have to understand something about prayer. You can't go to prayer wondering. You got to know, for God's sake. You have got to know. Is God going to hear you? 1 John chapter 3 says this, and we know this. We don't wonder about this. We don't think. We know that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have what we've asked for. Now, see, I've lived my life believing that, but I've cut people slack on that, and that was wrong. And the Lord convicted me, said, Angelo, look at my son. Think about what he said. I can remember he said this more than once. How many of you have ever read this in the Gospels? Jesus saying, well, do you believe I can do that? How many of you have ever? Nobody? Has anybody ever heard that in the Bible? Yeah. Do you believe I can do that? You know, it's real important that you're praying for people that, I'm not saying they have to be born again, bought and paid with the blood of Jesus. No. Do they believe in the power of prayer? Do they believe that God answers prayer? And I'm asking you tonight, do you believe that God will answer your prayer? That's an important thing. And I'm not asking like you don't. I'm trying to drive home a very important point that I can see tonight where, you know, we're so giving. People that get saved are very giving. They really are, and they just want the best for everybody. But I have prayed for people that I should not because they just didn't believe. And there's people in this room, old Bub back there, he knows. I prayed for people that said, nah, pray when you get home or something. God ain't hard up. God is not a 16-year-old boy hard up for a date. If you want to, every day God's lets people do what they want. And if nobody's praying for them, that makes it even worse and harder. And we can't hardly stand the thought that people that we love are probably not saved. But what can we do? What about the ones, what about the people in our life that love God like we do? At least love them. Ain't that good? Isn't that a good thing? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said this. He just got through healing a guy. He was in a house. And they believed so much, and they couldn't get their sick friend in the door. There were too many people. So they got up on the roof, and they opened up the roof, and they lowered him down into the house, and Jesus healed him. Now, while that was going on, that got everybody excited because everybody knew this person. And he was, and he wasn't one that, he was born real sick. But his disciples were yelling to him at the door, "Master, your mom and your brethren are outside. They want to talk to you." And Jesus just looked at everybody and said, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he said, "I'm going to tell you who my mother and my brethren are. Those that hear and those that do the will of God." Now, that ain't changed. Malachi chapter 3 says this, "I am the Lord God. I change not." The word says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look here. No matter what, how wicked people get, God's not raising the standard. You must be born again. You must live a certain way. You must deliver, you must surrender certain things in your life. Now we're going to go to the last place, Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to read a few verses there. Which ones, I'm not sure yet. God just changed us on the way to church. And I just feel the inspiration of what God wants to say with us. I'm going to start reading at verse Mark 11 and 20. Now, what has happened is the day before, Jesus went by a fig tree looking for something to eat, thought there should be something to eat there, and he found none. And he spoke a judgment on that tree. He said, "You will never bear fruit again." Now, and in the morning, verse 20, Mark 11 and 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, I have cut down limbs off of trees, and that thing, those leaves would be green and bearing fruit for weeks afterwards. But let me tell you something. Jesus spoke a judgment on that tree, and that's all he had to do. That's the power you have if you know Christ and you know how to get to that power. I can tell you that. And Peter was always the first one to speak. He carried his shoe like this here in his hand because he spoke up so many times. And he usually put his foot in his mouth when he spoke. He was always saying, he wasn't afraid to talk. And he loved God. And don't get too upset with Peter, because I'll tell you something about him. Jesus said, "You're Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter because you're a rock. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." What was the rock? "Who do they say that I am?" Peter said, "Well, Lord, no matter who they say you are, I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Savior. Nobody else." Now, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And why did he say that? Because most trees, I don't know of a tree that you can cut a limb off one day and it's dried up the next. And there wasn't a limb cut off of this tree, this fig tree. He just spoke to the whole tree, and that was the end of the tree. And so that was a notable miracle, like many other things that Christ did when he was walking on the earth. And Jesus said to him, after he said, "Lord, look, the tree that you cursed, man, it's withered up." And Jesus said in verse 22, "Have faith in God." The literal translation of those words is this: have the same faith that God has, is what it literally says right there in the Greek language. See, we can talk about wishy-washy faith. Have the faith of God. "For verily I say unto you, that everybody, whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. You know how many years I believed that? I believed that for so many years. When I was a lot skinnier and all my hair was here and it was all brown, it was down like this here, I was praying for things and seeing answers that shocked me. See, I prayed for somebody that was dead. It was a baby. That baby came back to life. That scared me. That didn't impress me. That scared me. I began to realize, man, I'm dealing with somebody that's as great as he. This wasn't just the feeling that came over me in that summer day in 1971. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that overtook me. And I begin to realize that. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed. Now, hear me. Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. He shall have whatever he says. Now, I didn't say that. The Son of the living God, the resurrected Christ, your Savior and mine, said that. If you believe where in your heart. See, it ain't a head thing. It ain't a Sunday thing. It ain't a Wednesday night thing. Can I tell you what? It's every day. It's every day. Leave every person every day to work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, take it serious. Why? What if we're not here tomorrow? Sunday night, I really felt strong. We were in a time of prayer, and I asked some people to come up, and five of them came up, and I was standing right here, and Kelly was right there. And I was right in the middle of my prayer, and I said, wait, there's one more person in here. And Kelly said, oh, my gosh, Dad, there sure is. I felt the same thing, right? Right. There was one more. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I felt the same thing, and I said it. I said, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. You don't have to come up because it's going to be a short little deal for you to think about. I'm going to count to 10. And if you're not up here, I said, I don't know who it is. I've got a suspicion, but at that, we're just going to go and finish his service. Well, we counted to 10, and at the count of 10, that person came up. Well, praise God. I hope that person got something. But I want you to see something and understand something as I speak tonight. You, if you believe in Christ, and if you're beginning to see God answer some of your prayers, how many in here would say that you know that God answers your prayers? He answers some of your prayers by the showing of your hand, okay? And if your hand's not up, that's fine. It's the truth. Because if you stick with God, I guarantee you, you will see that happen. Huh. Amen. All right. Now, let's go a little bit further, because Christ says some powerful things here that's been a part of my life for many, many years. In verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, because of everything I just said in front there, because what I did yesterday when I cursed that fig tree, and because it's already dead already, which is unheard of, therefore, I say unto you, now hear me, folks. This is, I don't even want to call this a formula. This is just the truth, a word of encouragement to you. What you've got to ask yourself more and more as you pray, and God's instructed me, I want you to, you don't be so mushy-mushy about praying for everybody. You don't want to pray for people that don't have any faith, or they're just doing it because somebody in the church service is going like this to them and knocking them and say, get up there. Go up there. You want to know. I want to know like Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that in the power? And I don't want you to believe I can do it. I want you to believe that he can do it. And I may ask people more than I have been. You believe God can do this? Are you asking for something that you believe in? see. I've had people, well, not really. I'm just, you know, I just thought I'd see what happened. Try it out. Well, I'm going to tell you, some people that's met Jesus, they knew it from the moment they spoke to him that he was something special. And I'm going to say this, and please don't take it wrong. I've talked to people, they knew who I was before. They just knew. And I've seen things happen I cannot explain. What is that? A miracle. Now, there are many classes of prayers, but there's a class called miracles. And it's and a miracle is something that happens that you can't explain. If you can explain it, it's not a miracle. It's answered prayer. It's good. But before this is over, in the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you that believe that God can and that God will, that we're going to pray for Larry Baker. I want Larry to be around for a lot longer. He just bought a new boat. So did I. I just bought a new one too. Well, what do you guys need with two boats? I don't know, but we both got one. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now look here. What do you desire? Tonight, what do you desire? When you pray, desire plus when you pray, believe that you receive them. It's like believe that you know. It's like when one of your kids comes up to you and says, Dad, can I have $5? Man, I'd scold these girls. I'd scold Kelly and Shelly a lot. And before the night was over, we'd be going to Russellville and I'd be taking you to go. Is that true or false? Why? Because I love my kids. And I'm so proud of them. Look at how good they all turned out. Aren't they the best? I just love them. Okay. Now think about this. I'm going to ask you to pray with me for Larry in just a moment. What things you desire when you pray, what do you got to do when you desire something? First of all, you got to pray. When you pray, look at what this says here. When you pray, believe. In other words, I've heard a lot of prayers. There wasn't nobody believing. There was just a whole lot of praying going on. Everybody on TV, well, you're in our thoughts and prayers. Well, what does that mean? Are they, you know? Well, what you want to know, I think the worst thing for a born-again Christian, a new Christian, or people in certain places in life is to go and pray and not and have others pray and not see anything happen. I think that's freakish. I don't think that's normal. I think the normal thing is to see results of your prayer. And if I can see, I'm not anybody. I'm just a person, okay? I've never been to no schooling or this or that or the other. You know what I did? I just believed God. I believed God all the way here from Modesto, California. Never been here. The Lord said, go there. I got something for you to do. My pastor said, you're going to go there and do a great work. You're going to change a lot of lives. Well, I just believed that. And I just came. Okay? I didn't have anything beside that. I was a plumber and a pipe fitter by trade. I worked for cable TV. I worked for Ma Bell as a cable splicer and a lineman. I worked in the trades for many, many years and loved it, especially when we got laid off. You made that good money and you get laid off. Huh? You're making top pay, top unemployment. And a lot of times you could just about choose. You could tell them, well, yeah, lay me off for this amount of time. That. But when you stand, now look here. Here's the next verse, 25. Here's the next part, and then we should pray. Now, this is important. This has to do with prayers being answered. And this is one of the reasons that prayers are not answered. There's more than one. But this is one because Jesus was really thinking about this because this is the first next thing he said. We got it up there. Therefore, okay, now verse 25. And when you stand praying, I'm going to ask you to pray for Larry Baker in just a moment, and we're going to stand up and do it. Why? Because that's what it says here. Well, do you have to be standing to pray? No, but we're going to, if you want to pray for Larry with me. And if you don't, please don't. And if you can't believe, if you don't think it's going to, then it wouldn't do any good to pray. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26 makes it pretty clear. It says, but if you will not forgive, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you yours, and neither will your prayer get answered. Whatever you think, it's right in there. It's so plain. Any translation that you can find will say the same thing. A clean heart. Will you cut everybody loose? I can tell you the times that I couldn't do that. There was times for years there was people I just couldn't get it out of my craw. Did I get some prayers answered? Yeah, some. But I want more. I want every time I'm going to pray, for gosh sakes, if I'm going to pray, I want something to happen. And if God shows me that somebody ain't met the qualifications that I've just spoke of in these few verses, why should I pray? I mean, it's nothing's going to happen. I can assure you. Could we get our hearts ready for just a moment? I'll tell you what. Would you just play us a minute's worth of music? Let's get our heart. Let's just have some altar music. Make an altar where you are. Come to the altar. Do what you'd like.